Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible's own way, 2 Timothy 2:15, and we are excited to bring another message of grace, another message of understanding of the Word of God rightly divided. And we thank you for sitting here with us today. We thank you for tuning in on Facebook Live, also on YouTube channel, Apple TV, Roku, broadcast, even on our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. We hope that we're coming through loud and clear, and we are excited about some things. A couple announcements. We do thank you for praying for us, lifting us up in this time that it seems like it's dark out there, but once again, we are the light of the Lord Jesus Christ while he's gone. We have a light of the glorious gospel. We know what to think. We know how to act. We know how to do just about anything God wants us to do through his word. He gives us a word in the English language, the authorized version in the King James Bible, for us to understand what God is doing in times past, but now in ages to come. And we should be able to make our decisions based on who we are in Christ, not based on emotions. Listen, I know many of us, sometimes we make decisions based on something that popped right on us at one time. We get that knee-jerk reaction, so we got to do this, and then we say, wait a minute, why did I just do that? So as we think about some things of who we are in Christ Jesus, we can understand how to put the mind of Christ on and make some really mature Christian-based decisions. And I know what religion does. Religion is, it gets you in a mar. Religion is return to bondage. And I hope you don't think that we are a religious type of people. We're Bible. We're people of the Bible. We're people of the book. And God used people of the book and people all throughout from time. And we can see some things about how to study the Bible. All the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us. So as we think about that, keep that in mind as we study the Word of God. Also, keep our prayer requests and praise items in thought and prayer. We have a lot of people that's is sick. This is the flu season. We're starting into the flu season, and it's going to last for about 3 months. So I encourage you to do what you need to do to keep your immune system built up and stay away from people if you need to. And all that type of stuff. But Thanksgiving's coming up this Thursday. This is one of the holidays that we treasure as Christians, to be around and being thankful of the things that's given to us, especially his son, Christ Jesus. We should be always, every time you sit down and eat, you should be thankful that Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again. But that is one holiday that we set aside and just really time just enjoy. There's no buying and presents wrapping and that type of thing, but it is a time that we can get around each other and just sit and reflect on who we are in Christ. So just keep that in thought and prayer too. Let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about the lessons and the prayer requests and the praise items and all that we have on our hearts and on our minds, spoken and unspoken, you tell us to make all things known unto you, and in doing so, it gives us peace, and peace that we need to have. And just talking to you allows us to get that off our shoulders and allow us to go on and continue to be who we are in Christ. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 6 of Through the Bible in 7 hours. And as you know, this is the 6th lesson, so we're already in 6 hours, but we're not even into lesson 3 of the book Through the Bible. So we always like to think, when we're studying the Word of God, let's take our time. Let's be clear and not be confusing, and let the Bible say what it means and means what it says. And if it takes between now and the catching away out here, then you know, so be it. But we have this time with you, and we want to take this time and just go over some things. Now, we left off talking about the goal of prophecy which is the coming of the Messiah and the establishment of his kingdom on earth. And the earthly kingdom will be fulfilled through the Davidic covenant. You got the Abrahamic covenant, got the Davidic covenant, and this is where we're at right here. It's going to be fulfilled through him. We looked at these verses last week. We're not going to go back over these. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. 1 Chronicles 17, verses 14 through 15, and Psalms chapter 89, verses 34 through 37. Now, we use this chart, this timeline, to help illustrate through the Bible. And this timeline up here is basically what the Bible is on a chart. So, times pass, but now, and ages to come. We're going to go through these things. So I have to close up this chart right here, and this is the Bible and prophecy, and this is where we're concentrating at in the prophetic program. And some of the details that you need to know about this kingdom that we're talking about right here, this Davidic kingdom, is turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. And it is set up upon the earth. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice," where? In the earth. Daniel chapter 2. We looked at Daniel quite a bit. We studied the whole book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter 2 will tell us, verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." That's another goal of prophecy in the kingdom. It's prophesied right there. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions." Now, once again, who's he talking to here? He's talking to the nation Israel. He's right. We already looked at some things that when the promise made to Israel that they are a distinct people up here. That's what this timeline up here. They're above any other nation at this time. Okay? Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covered the sea." Where's this at? The earth. This is a prophetic program. These are some notes that we need to know about the kingdom. And it's on this earth. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will towards men." Where's the focus at? The earth. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Chapter 6, verse 10. Verse after verse after verse. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Chapter 19. Chapter 19. of Matthew. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of what? Israel. It's going to be set up on earth, and when Lord Jesus Christ sits on his throne over here, he sits on 1,000 years, they're going to be sitting on and having 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes, and that type of thing. Now, where is it going to be centered at? Oh, I know. Like Jerry Falwell used to say, look out your window and there's your Jerusalem. That's an era, okay? There's people who will tell you that Jerusalem has been moved. Some of them say the kingdom has been moved from Israel to United Kingdom in England, and then over here in the United States, okay? Now, if that was true, where is it going to next? So it does not move, and it will be the center at Jerusalem. That's the Davidic covenant, Isaiah chapter 2. My hands are dry. Not me drinking enough water. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up in the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. Okay? Chapter 24. Verse 23. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancient glorious. Once again, the center of this kingdom, the center of this authority on earth will be in Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. At that time thou shalt call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imaginations of their evil heart. Jerusalem. Micah. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, though they be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from the old and from everlasting. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 35. Get there before me, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 35. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Jerusalem on earth, the center of what we're talking about, is where God's city is. Okay? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. A lot of verses, guys. A lot of verses. Which is good. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. So the verses that we went all about, the things you got to think about, is that the center of this Davidic covenant is going to be Jerusalem. Now, some of the verses we already talked about, has that happened yet? Well, no, it hasn't. It will be extended to all the earth. Go to Psalms chapter 72. Psalms chapter 72. It's just not in Jerusalem. It's going to be extended through all the earth. Psalms 72. Psalms 72. Verse 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. When it's all said and done, it's not just going to be in Jerusalem. It's going to go out through all the earth, not the heaven, the earth, and all nations shall serve him. Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, we already looked at that, but go, look, let's do it again. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 45. For as much as they saw us that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces of iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and interpretation thereof. He's going out all these places out through there. Chapter 7, verse 12. Chapter 7, verse 12. Chapter 7, verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So it's going out there, standing out. And we already read Psalms chapter 2, verse 8, how it's going to go forever. Now Israel will become a blessing to the Gentiles. Okay? Well, Gentiles are down here in times past. Okay? This is what this bottom line is. Israel's up here. Israel is God's chosen people in the earth. Through Israel, God was going to show the world what he wanted to happen in the earth. Now, to become a blessing, go to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be set upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the blessing of thy rising. Now, has that happened yet? No, it has not happened yet. It's going to happen in ages to come, but right now, and where we're reading the Bible, has that happened even in times past? No. Zechariah. Zechariah. Verse, chapter 8. Chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, O house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Has that happened yet? No, Israel's going to become a blessing. Okay? And it says, has it come to pass? So it ain't passed yet, so it's still over here. chapter 20, verse 20, excuse me, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I shall yet come to it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Yet many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold of all out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the shirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you. We have heard that God is with you." There's going to be a time, and it's over here when we get to it, that 10 nations, 10 Gentiles, will grab a coat of a Jew and walk in the kingdom, because we have heard that God was with you. They're going to go under Israel to be blessing. And then we know what Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18 talks about, the covenant, that he's going to bless these and bless those and all that good stuff. Now, with that being said, the government will be purified. It's unlike a government today. Listen, we're in the times of the Gentiles. That has not stopped. If you think a human king or a human president or a human dictator can be purified in a way that God is going to put his kingdom on this earth, you're fooling yourselves. Okay? You're just fooling yourself. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. "But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reproof with equally for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." Listen, this government that God's going to set up, it's strict, okay? It's to the point, and it's with a rod. Chapter 61, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 11. "For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it in the spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." This group of people, this government that God is setting up on this earth, it's going to be pure, guys. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 5. I think we read this already. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will rise up unto David a righteous branch, a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." That government, once again, will be purified. Okay? There is no going to be no corruption in God's government on earth. War and bloodshed will be abolished. Now, you know, there's people talking about peace, peace, peace. You know, there are peace plans and there are Nobel Peace Prizes, stuff like that. There's not a place on this earth right now that is without war and bloodshed. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us is born, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name is called, will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see that? Who is that? We know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But has that happened yet? No. When it happens, there is no war. Chapter 2, verse 4. Isaiah 2, verse 4. Verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So when this government's set up, when it's purified, that the Lord Jesus Christ sets up on this earth, there ain't going to be no wars. There are not going to be people against people. They're going to beat their swords and their spears into plows and pruning hooks. Why? So they can take care of the land. Health and long life will be restored. Look at Isaiah chapter 33. We're always looking at some ways that miracles and all, what's going on. But look at this. Isaiah chapter 33. There's going to be a time coming on this earth through the nation of Israel over here that you're going to have health and long life will be restored. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 24. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquities. You know what sin does? Sin brings death. Sin brings illnesses. Sin brings cancers. Sin brings obesity. Sin brings all kinds of stuff. And it will affect your health. Okay, chapter 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap, and the as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the wilderness shall waters break out in the streams of the desert. Is that going on right now? No, we still have blind people, deaf people. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, he did this. Okay? We'll get into that later on. Verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sight shall flee away. Listen, right now the Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile. He's not on this earth. The way he appears on this earth is through the body of Christ, with us. But when he comes back over here, okay, and sets up the kingdom, there's a lot to say about this when we get to it. All that stuff's going to flee away on this earth. Chapter 65, Isaiah 65. Verse 20. Thou shalt be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. The old man's going to fulfill his days. How long that's going to be, I don't know. Moses was like, I think, 120, but before that was 600, 900. Some glorious times over there. That's what Ezekiel 47 talks about too. Listen, animal creation will be tamed. Chapter 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. For they shall not hurt nor destroy any of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. They're going to be tamed. You won't need a zoo to keep animals. They're going to be out there. The curse is going to be removed from the vegetation of creation. Go to chapter 35. Isaiah says a lot about what's going on, really, in the future from Isaiah. Okay? A lot of this, you've got to remember, is prophesied to take place over here. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given upon it, and the ecstasy of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Verse 6. Then shall the lame leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, and for the wilderness shall waters break out in the streams of the desert. Verse 7. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land spring of water. Inhabitants of the dragon, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Listen, the curse is going to be removed. When Adam fell in the garden, there's thorns out there. I don't know if you ever run through the woods or run through the fields, and you get these stickers all over you. And thorns. We used to ride horses through woods, bareback, by the way, with bridles made out of fodder twine, and you just grabbed a hold of manes, and that horse would go wherever you wanted to go, and it'd take you under some branches with thorns. And you'd come out there with, you know, look like, you know, one of those things you hit somebody with and all that stuff. But that's the curse of the earth. That's the curse of the vegetation. There's not a place on this earth right now that you can't go that you might get poisoned with. You with me? Even though it's beautiful. It's beautiful in Hawaii. It's beautiful in Alaska. The United States has some beautiful places. Even the whole world, you can find a beautiful place, but yet it's cursed. You just can't just eat anything. In that day, all of Israel shall be saved. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Apostle Paul talks about this in the apostles, in his epistles, in chapters 9, 10, 11 of Romans, and we'll get into all of this eventually. It deals with the nation Israel. And he says in chapter 11, verse 26 and 27, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." God has a covenant with Israel. God don't have a covenant with the body of Christ. So that's why it's very, very important to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Daniel, Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. "Behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After the day, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them until the greatest of them, saith the Lord, that for I will forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more." This is a new covenant, okay? Like a New Testament. We'll get into that shortly. So the thing is, he's made a new covenant because that old covenant, they broke it. This new covenant takes place over here. "And Israel shall be saved." Ezekiel chapter 36, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Ezekiel says a lot about prophecy, okay? About this time period over here. Not so much here. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Verse 23 says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I will sanctify in you before their eyes." This is what born again is all about. Israel's got to be born again, okay? They was born the first time coming out of Egypt. "Let my firstborn child go." Okay? They had to be born again to walk over here. Verse 24. "For I will take you among the heathen, and gather you, Israel, out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land." Has that happened yet? No. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, Israel." Here comes a baptism. "And ye shall be clean for all of their filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, Israel." So he's talking to, "and a new spirit will I put in you, Israel. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in a land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." This is going to take place. All of Israel, the people that believe Israel, the not the apostate Israel. Listen, the apostate Israel is lost. Saved Israel is going to be over here, okay? And it will be through the redeemed Israel that God will send blessings to salvation of the nations out there. You remember, nation is one. Nations is many. Nation Israel. Nations, Gentiles. Okay? Thus God gave Israel the prophetic time schedule for accomplishing the cleansing of the nation. So God is working through Israel back here in times past. Okay? And he's working through them to cleanse them so them they be a light for us Gentiles down here. But we know what happened to them if you read your Bible. Okay, it could happen to any one of us. And we know in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Might as well turn there. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, who is thy people? Israel. You and I are not thy people. That's why you better rightly divide a word of truth and quit taking verses out of there and quit committing spiritual larceny, evading somebody's mail, taking somebody's mail and opening it and applying it to you. Should be a law about that. The finish of the transgressions and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy to anoint the Most High, Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and for the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and until the end the war of desolations are determined. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many 1 week, and in the midst of that week he shall cause the sacrifice and the obligations to cease, and for the overspreading and of the abomination he shall make desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What they're talking about here, that time schedule that we're looking at, the time schedule in the Bible. Note, between Malachi and Matthew, there's 400 years of silence. Okay? 400 years of silence. And Israel awaits the arrival of the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So all this was taking place. Daniel's in captivity, 49 weeks. There's 70 weeks has to take place and be determined upon Israel, not us. Israel. And 400 years of silence. You ever thought about that? That'd be a good message, wouldn't it? 400 years of silence. God did not speak audibly in 400 years. But how did he speak? How would they know what's going on? How would they consider the things that the Lord says? They had the words. They had a book. They had a Bible. Even Moses, 400 some years in Egypt, had the book of Job. That's why they had some patience of Job. And that's why they said, "My Redeemer liveth." Okay? They had books. We have a book. They have a book. We have a completed Word of God. God's going to use His words in times past. He's going to use His words but now. And He's going to use His words ages to come. And by the way, all these books out there that says, what is that book? Book of Enoch. And the Apocrypha and all that. Those things was written during his time. That's why they're not in the King James Bible. They're not the words of God inspired. Okay? They might be some good reading. I've never read them. Maybe you have. Maybe you can glean some things from it. But it's not the holy word inspired, infallible Word of God, or it would be right here. Now, look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The days of the Messiah have arrived right on schedule. That's what they're talking about here. He did not show up on a whim. Okay? It showed up right on schedule. And remember this, okay, when we're talking about this. Just as the Old Testament did not begin in Genesis, it is said that the New Testament does not begin in Matthew chapter 1. You know what I'm saying here? Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 and 17 says this, and I want you to remember this, because I'm going to bring it back up here shortly. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. So when you look at the New Testament, I'll just hold that off for a second. I just want you to think about that. Until the death of a testator, there is no testament. I'll share this with you, okay? When did the Lord Jesus Christ die? Last chapter of Matthew. Last chapter Mark, last chapter Luke, and last two chapters of John. So the New Testament did not begin when you open your Bible before Matthew. He is still living in times past under law. This John the Baptist calls Israel to repentance. His message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Exactly what was needed in order for the favored nation of Israel to prepare for the Messiah's arrival. 400 years of silence. And all of a sudden, here comes a guy out there in the wilderness, and he's shouting, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's getting them ready for the Messiah to come. And you know what a lot of people thought of him. But things to remember about times past, okay? We're going to slowly get out of times past. Well, not until we get over here, but anyway, remember, times past, but now and ages to come. God, four things to remember here. Look, God chose the nation Israel as his earthly nation and agency. You and I was not back here. Even though if you and I was back here, we'd be down here. God chose Israel, one race out of all the races, one nation out of all the nations. He chose Israel. He didn't choose the United States or Germany. He chose Israel. Two, God gave the nation Israel the law. I think that law was given to Israel to separate them from everybody else. Okay? Remember, that law was pointed to that you needed a schoolmaster, needed a savior. God's prophetic purpose is to restore the headship of Jesus Christ over the planet Earth through the instrumentality of the kingdom vested in the nation Israel. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Okay? Then right after Genesis 1-2, he starts to focus on the earth. And I think that's where people's mind is, and Satan's got people's minds combined that you're part of this earth, you're part of this kingdom, we need to build a kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. God, we just read some verses what God is going to do, okay? He don't need the body of Christ, our help, to do what he says he's going to do through the nation Israel. Let's move over, let's take the next, you know, few minutes, and we'll pick this back up next lesson. Move over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? We got the law right here. And the earthly ministry right here, earthly ministry of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See right here? Genesis through Malachi. Then you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where you're at right here. John the Baptist, Lord Jesus Christ, 12 apostles, death, burial, and resurrection. Right here in this little section right here. Lord Jesus Christ, despite what a lot of people thinks about him, was the most important person to ever have lived on this earth. It's not the president. It's not your famous football person. It's not even you. Or your grandbabies or your it's not you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the so-called four gospels, that is, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, set forth his early life and ministry. And we are naturally interested in that information, aren't we? Because ever since you was that high, knee high to grasshopper, moving on up, everybody's taught you about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But remember that our Lord lived and ministered in times past. Else you would be soon confused and discouraged what you're going to find in those records. That's why I keep telling you over and over and over, when you study the Word of God, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people will have you to be saved. You say, oh yeah, you trust Christ died and buried and rose again. But you got to do what Jesus did. You got to get back over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and live the way and do what Jesus said in the red letters. Listen, you cannot do that. You will get discouraged. You will throw your Bible away. You'll go back living the way you wanted to live. Okay, because God didn't save us to go back to live the way we want to live. You just get discouraged. It's sad. And the thing is this. The theme of Matthew through John, one, they're still in times past. Middle wall partition. Remember we talked about that? You had the law and the middle wall partition that God himself erected between the nation Israel and Gentiles is set up. But wait a minute. Isn't it printed right here between Malachi and maybe my Bible. Let's see. Hang on. It says the New Testament, and some of them says the New Testament of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's got to be the New Testament. So Thomas passes Genesis through Malachi. Right? Wrong. Ask yourself who put that there. God didn't authorize that there. And what did we just read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 17? Until the death of the testator, there is no testament. Hey, when you sign a will of testimony, last will and testament. You know, I'm going back through some history and some ancestor stuff. I'm reading last wills of testaments of my grandfathers and great-grandfathers and what they left and the land and the houses and the cows and the goats and the, you know, just, you know, wanted them to have this. I'm thinking, where's that land at today? You know, because apparently they owned half of North Carolina and half of Virginia one time. I'm like, where's my half? But anyway, it just didn't go in force while they was living. Now, you were encouraged to do a will, a testament, right? A testimony, a will. But it don't go in force till after you die. So think about this for a minute. The Gentiles, the nation Israel, there's still a wall put up there. And I really like to end it there. Because it's going to be very, very important that we understand this middle wall partition between nation Israel and the Gentiles. But listen, if you're here today, and this may be confusing, this may be say, yep, that's where I'm at, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But you've got to understand, this is times past. But God's got a plan in the dispensation of grace, okay, that was not made known, that was kept secret, and that's right here. And that's Romans to Philemon. And God is not, he does not have a wall. He does not have a law. He does not have circumcision. He does not have a kingdom on earth. That kingdom, as we get through here, is postponed today. God is not building a kingdom. He's building a body in which we're going to take in the heavenly places. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And this is where we're at but now. And it is to us, okay? We can learn, and I hope you are learning what Israel in times past is doing. But when we get out right here, the kingdom's at hand, that's where we're going to be at. Then we're going to go to kingdom offered. And this time period right here, or I should say in these books and Acts, that's where 90% of your religious system will take you. And when you talk about salvation through grace plus nothing else, it sets people back like, what are you talking about? I need to do this and I need to do that. Do you really need to do that? Because you're going to set up for failure. And are you not going to take God through His Son, Jesus Christ? His word versus man's word or Edward? Don't even take Edward's name or advice. Study the book. And if you're today, if you never made that decision about who to trust in or what to trust, I tell you, my friend, the Bible says we're a sinner. And it's appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. Everybody's going to die. Even if the Lord came today, this body would die. Okay? You don't want to die a second death. So what? It's just plain and simple. You trust Christ. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Christ died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. God commended his love towards us. And he gave his son that payment of sin to pay for our debt that you and I will never be able to pay. You could not buy yourself into heaven. Okay? You could not shed your own blood to get in heaven. You could not do enough good in this world to get you to heaven. Jesus Christ did it for us. And you trust that Christ died for sins and buried and rose again, and he saves you today. Do that today. And if you die today, if I die today, we'd see each other in eternity in heaven, okay? Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. And as we think about the lessons that we have, let's be mindful of how you laid the Bible out. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the people that tuned in today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you want to follow us on Facebook, that's fine. If you want to follow us through our website, that's fine. www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. On the broadcast app, you can download the broadcast app and watch it on your Apple TV, Roku. If you got YouTube, you can subscribe to Dispensational Bible Church, and boom, you can watch us there. If you want to donate towards the ministry, we do have some bills. We got some things going on through this broadcast. We give our ministry needs to Grace School of Bible, and then we're thinking about our conferences in May and all. So there's a lot of not a lot of expense, but yet there's expenses more than one person can bear himself. So if you're being fed and you want to give to the people that feed you, there's a donate button on there. If you want to go to our website, we do have a P.O. Box, 592 in Cambridge, Ohio. And give us a call, give us an email, give us an encouraging. I was reading some encouraging things just the other day, and this one guy goes, wow, you know, this teaching is awesome. It should have thousands and thousands of likes. Well, you know, you got to reach one person at a time. And it's not about me. It's about the Word of God rightly divided, okay? So if you don't like my looks, if you don't like my, just get me out of the way. Believe the books. Just listen. And we encourage you to be with us, whether in person or via the internet, that if this may be strange to you. And, you know, we always say give us 6 weeks. Just let us go through the Bible with you. And that's what we're doing. And let that be your guide. And the Holy Spirit be your teacher, okay? And he will teach you some things contrary to what you may have believed in the past. And if you're saved, your spirit today will understand what we're talking about. See you this time next week. May God bless you.